Let me pray. Ag Here, help. Maar aardig. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to share a word here. Do you do the carrot or the stick first? I think it's the carrot. Yeah. Okay. Let's start with the carrot. I want you to hear. Just close your eyes, and if you feel comfortable, I mean, we made earlier, so I don't know if you. This is maybe not that uncomfortable. Open your hands as I read this. This is just a prophetic word that was handed to me this morning that I think sets us up for what I believe, think the Lord's going to speak to us. Listen to these words. My love for you does not change. It is set in gold. Remember that it is your feelings that feel as if you cannot come to me boldly in the difficult times. Remember that my love stays the same and my arms are open to welcome you even when you feel you have not followed me and feel guilty. I am and I do not change at all. My arms are open to you. Thank you, Lord, that we can receive this word. Amen. Amen. I want to do a little exercise here. Just making some notes while we were worshiping. We all sang along, right? We all sang along, so I'm not the only one in the room who sang these words. The God of ages stepped down from glory to bear my sin and wear my shame. Somebody's knocking at the door. Is it a guinea fowl? Guinea fowl is on a date with himself. Claim on chicken. This is me trying to be focused. The God of ages stepped down from glory to bear my sin and wear my shame. Here's another one. All my hope is in him. His freedom. His healing. Did you sing that? Do you believe that? He has paid the highest price. We will praise him with our lives. Did you sing that? Do you believe that? You're making me like you? Wow. I sang that. I was like, it's a lot of work to be done. But you're making me like you. I surrender. I want to know you more. Like a mighty storm. A year ago, we had a mighty storm. There's still evidence when you go along the coast of what happens when there's a mighty storm. A lot of stuff gets flushed out. Flotsam, still floating around, still in the lineup. I have to be careful when I surf. There might be a tree still coming past. Like a mighty storm. Come and breathe within. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Did you sing that one? Did you? I was like, not sure, Lord. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. And then, hallelujah, in the presence of my Savior. All of this we sang. Because it matters in the presence of my Savior. Where he is, all of this is true. All of this is true, where he is. There where we are not aware of his presence, this is not true. I should get to the sermon. Okay, let me pray again. Here, help nog. Amen. I mean, we've been in this Sermon on the Mount. I'm starting to think it's going to be a while before we get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We're in the Lord's Prayer. So we spend some time looking at our Father in heaven, and we got this encouragement for one another. Our Father, we are adopted into this family. He's our Father in heaven. And then last week was a hallowed be your name. What's the name? And I was so excited last week. I feel like I had good slides last week. This week, I feel like I've upped my game. We'll see just now. It's not time to reveal my slide yet. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And today we are in this part of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm trusting that we will just get a good understanding of your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, there are many things I want to say that I shouldn't say that we don't need to hear. We need to hear you. We need to hear what your word is saying to us today. You are alive and living. Even now you are speaking to each one of us and you are ministering. We come in here, Lord. We have things on our mind. We have things that we believe, things that are right, things that are wrong. We see in part, we know in part. Father, I need to preach your word, not my word. Please help me in that. Amen. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Here's the only slide for today. Here's the only slide. Family business is the title of my sermon. I at least got a title. If this slide does not encourage you to pray, your kingdom come, then what I'm going to say is not going to help you either. Okay? I'm going to try and color this in a little bit for us, but this should be the only message you need to hear to encourage you today to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What is this slide? Where did I get it? I'm not that creative. If you've been here for a while, you'll know this is outside of my lane. Ja, bin mir nicht lach nicht. Jemand von mein Bett. This is from the Lausanne report on the state of the Great Commission. Okay, so I screen grabbed it out of there. That's why the font isn't so cool. That's my skill set. And what this points to, it's really simple. There are about 8 billion people on planet Earth. We've got them divided here. About 4.5 billion people have gospel access. That's what they talk about, gospel access, reached people. And about 435,000 missionaries or mission organizations, missions, teams, mission. So there's a wide definition for this, but people that take the gospel to proclaim it are reaching the 4.5 billion reached people. And on this side, every line represents 5,000 missionaries. Right? And on this side, we have the 3.3 billion unreached people. This means nations, ethnicities, peoples who have never heard the gospel and have no access to the gospel. Okay? There are 15,000 missionaries heading to the unreached people. Once again, this is the only sermon I think we need to hear when we need to be motivated to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is not to condemn us. This is to encourage us. The Lord, before he gives us the commission, he gives us the prayer. Right? It's way earlier. He gives us the prayer. You guys really need to pray this when you understand your identity, you understand what the goal is, the destination is, and then you need to pray that this kingdom would continue to come on earth as it is in heaven. And then he walks it out. He shows them what it looks like for 3 years. He walks out. What does it look like for kingdom to come? And then he gives the commission. So, if we're going to start at the start, we need to understand what are we praying for, right? Because there are a lot of ideas. A lot of them are good. A lot of them are like a focus on a perspective. This morning, I just want to try and give us like a snapshot. Like, I just want to look at some scriptures to just to bring us back, because there's a lot of books written about kingdom come and earth and in heaven and stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. But let's just go to some scriptures just to inform our interpretation, to inform the magnitude of what we are praying for, so that we would put all our trust in Him and not in ourselves. Right? Is that okay with you? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There is an eschatological aspect here. It's a theological word for end times talk. Eh? End times talk here. Because you're praying, Father, Father, your kingdom come. When does the Father's kingdom come in finality? I don't have scriptures and slides. I want to read them for us. I want to read here, 1 Corinthians 15. When you just have ears to hear, let that preach to you and have ears to hear. 1 Corinthians 15, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, those in Christ. Right? Let's not be confused here. In Adam all die, everyone is in Adam, not everyone is in Christ. Easy. Right. Let me not get distracted. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Then at his coming, that's his return, those who belong to Christ, then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. This is 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 22. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. That happens. Enemy is destroyed when he raises the just in Christ. Right? The kingdom is handed over to the Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Let the kingdom be handed over to you. It's part of this prayer. But when will this happen? We see in Revelation as well, the same idea. In Revelation 11, the last trumpet sounds, and we have this testimony. The loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The eschatological aspect of kingdom come, the end time aspect of it. When we pray, God, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we're asking for it to end. But how does it end? How does it end? Let me go to a scripture. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 9, Jesus speaking. He's just talked about the wars and earthquakes and signs and wonders and things that are going to distract us possibly. And he says these are the beginning of birth pains. Then, verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Is this familiar scripture? Continues, verse 10, Matthew 24, verse 10. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, that's all ethnicities, and then the end will come. I hear a lot of talk on this. Lord, let me just stay on track here. I hear a lot of things about signs and things of the end times. Here's a sign of, wow, that's fast. Where's my picture? I want my picture back. Here's the sign of how close we are to the end. Because Christ said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. There are I wrote it down from the Lausanne report. 97% of missionary work goes to those who already have gospel access. 3% goes to the 40% unreached. If you're like me and your math isn't that strong, 3.3 billion out of 8 billion is 40% of the planet Earth. Your kingdom come. Seems like the task is about 60% done. That's my interpretation of the stats here. You can fault me on this. I just feel like the Lord is saying, this is when the end will come. Where was I? Matthew 24. This gospel of the kingdom. Is this a new idea? Is this a new idea that God, being on mission, is focused on reaching the nations? Sometimes we read scripture, and especially sometimes we read the Old Testament, that it seems that God is only trying to rapture a bunch of Israelites. Have you read it in that way? God's settling for just going to take a nation and the rest. Oy. That's not the correct reading of the Old Testament. The Old Testament starts with God reaching a man who's an idol maker and worshiper, and he reaches Abram in his mess. He reaches out to a man. And in Galatians 3, it says, Galatians 3 verse 8, go and check this, don't just believe me, go and check this. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abram, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. In you shall all the nations be blessed. God is on mission, has been on mission since the beginning. His mission with Abram and with the nation Israel is you will be a kingdom of priests. Well, if everybody's a priest, what's a priest supposed to do? Minister to the nations. Minister. And so here, even when he preaches the gospel beforehand to Abram, he says, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abram, the man of faith. So we get a picture here of what we are tasked with. I had a conversation with the Lord. This traumatized me in preparation. I don't know about you. And at some point I said, Lord, maybe you should have stayed after the resurrection. Maybe. Maybe it would have been done by now. Maybe we would have been at 90%, not 60%. God works with 100% pass mark here. He says, once the gospel has been proclaimed to all nations as a testimony, he's working with 100% pass rate. He's not settling for even 90%. The Lord corrected me, said there's nothing wrong with my training. There's nothing wrong with my training. There's nothing wrong with my equipping. My people aren't praying, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Possibly because we misunderstand what kingdom come means. Because there's the eschatological aspect, that end times side of it, right? But then there's the now side of it. Now I've confused everybody. Your kingdom now, but not yet. But what is the now? And we have this like, okay, now we're all going to go and make converts of all nations. It's not the commission. Are we going to all just post on Facebook and all my friends will see the post and then I'm done? So if we all get everybody on Facebook and we all at one moment post John 3:16, we will have proclaimed the gospel to all nations. That's not proclaiming the gospel. It's a very narrow view of what we've been tasked with, and it's so, it almost sounds makeable, doesn't it? Maybe we can do that. 61%. It's a bigger task. Now we know that the gospel of the kingdom is spoken of a lot, and the kingdom of heaven, and there's a lot written, there's a lot said, but I want to zoom in on one text. I want to zoom in on one text that Paul, as one who comes later, who gets his training in person by the resurrected Christ, right? That's his testimony. If you read his letters, that's his testimony. He didn't receive the gospel from any man, but it was given to him by a revelation of Jesus Christ himself. Same gospel that everyone else preached. He submits it to the other apostles, and they say, oh, that's it. Just remember the poor. And he's like, of course, remember the poor. That's his testimony. And so Paul, having a different relationship with Jesus, writes to the Roman church, Roman called out ones, and he writes in Romans 14, there was a manifestation of the kingdom that wasn't the kingdom. Eating and drinking and freedom about eating and drinking and confusion about eating and drinking and, in other words, physical stuff. Right, like physical places. The church has struggled with this idea of kingdom come for generations. We keep lapsing into this. We start talking about kingdom come and your kingdom reign. And what we'll do is we'll make a society of kingdom come. Eating and drinking. We will all eat and drink the same. We'll all live in the same neighborhood, and we'll all live in the same compound, and we'll all live in the same city. It's funny how Paul doesn't think that's the kingdom. If you read Romans 14, he says in Romans 14, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Romans 14, verse 17. Listen to these words. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we are to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, it is not just asking people to make a decision. We have to confront them with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's Paul rewording the commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus. Therefore, go as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you, and I will be with you. Go and compare the two. It's like he's just rewording it for our understanding. The practical, if we have not believed the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, how can we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom? It starts with righteousness in Christ, received by faith, right standing, standing before the Father, holy, acceptable, blameless, without fault in Christ. Peace. Shalom. Wholeness. We are to minister wholeness. This is a journey for us. Yes. My peace I give to you is what he says. Not as the world gives do I give. My peace, my wholeness, my shalom I give to you. We must receive it in every area of our life. We are faced with things that are not whole. There are things in my life where I need shalom. I need wholeness to come. And that's a journey. Yes. I like the background. Wholeness, shalom. Proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Joy in the Holy Spirit. What's the end of the commission? He says, I will be with you to the end of the age. Who is with us? The Holy Spirit is with us. He is with us. Joy in the Holy Spirit. What is that? If you can hear, wave. Okay, great. I'm going to continue. We did this exercise in the intercession. I just said to the intercessors before, and I said, let's just breathe in. Everybody breathe in. Everybody take a deep breath. Breathe out. You're going to be okay. We're not going to meh again. Just breathe in. Joy in the Holy Spirit is remembering the joy of my salvation. The psalmist says in Psalm 16, in your presence, Lord, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. There are certain things in this life that have a part joy to give us. Right? A moment of joy. In his presence, in the gospel of the kingdom, in his presence, he's with us. Our awareness of it is tied to our awareness of his presence, of his joy. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. This is our portion. This is our inheritance in this life. Kingdom now is an awareness of his presence, his joy. And joy is not always a nice thing, right? Joy is a person with you when you're going through something that may be an unhappy thing. The world is looking for happiness. What the world needs is joy. The only place the world will find joy is in the person of Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before him carried their cross. If we are to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, we are to proclaim righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit to every nation, and then the end will come. What a task. What a task. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now we're all like a little bit fluffed, a little bit doing this like, no, but somebody must go. We'll send somebody. We'll support somebody. It's cool. We all have a role to play. It's just there's no other mission given to us. There's no other task given to us. Right? So the kingdom come is not an optional, some of us are kingdom come people and some of us are not. We're all kingdom come people. We are to pray to the Father about kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You can't choose parts of the prayer for yourself. Now, I'm more comfortable with the will be done part, right? Where was I going with this? Oh, that's where I was going. Okay. I'm going to be really quick this morning. I didn't know if this was going to be a sermon. So 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. I just want to remind us of something. If we are intimidated by the task entrusted to us as part of the body. Oh, that's nice. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich... Where was he rich? We're praying on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Together in community. Perfect love. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. We are not given a task that he has not already performed and asks us to apply. In the gospel of the kingdom, we have this truth. If we want to, we are entrusted with proclaiming the kingdom come on earth, heaven already came. The king of the kingdom came, gave himself for the slaves of the other kingdom. That's what he did. He was rich, we were poor, we were slaves of the kingdoms of this world, living in spiritual and physical poverty. And the king comes from heaven. He who was rich became poor to bring heaven down, to purchase the slaves, to bring them into the kingdom. Right? Amen. Yes, amen. This is the gospel. It's how we see some of it. We understand some of it. We know in part, we see in part. But here is the thing. If we are tasked with the king praying, Lord, kingdom come on earth, and we are overwhelmed by it, in his presence, you don't need to be overwhelmed. You need to be encouraged because the king already did come down. He already came. He already bore that cross, wore your shame, paid for your sin. All my hope is in him. He is freedom. He is healing. He paid the highest price. We will praise him with our lives. If you're alive today, there's a purpose. Kingdom come. You're making me like you. I surrender. I want to know you more. This is what I like. This is what Jesus is saying to us. This is what I like. I want you to pray for my kingdom to come and then start to make it happen. In my presence, walk with me, follow me. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders, in the presence of my Savior. I want to look at, we're familiar with the Great Commission. By the way, that's actually a new term. It's only been around for about 150 years. But it's now found its way into the headings of our Bibles, the Great Commission. It's the commission. It's not like there's a lesser commission and a possible commission, a maybe commission. It's actually the commission, right? This is the commission. John helps us with a little weighty portion of scripture. John 20, verse 21 to 23. Swipe right. There we go. This is John's wording of the commission. John 20, verse 21. There we go. Thank you. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Shalom. Wholeness. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it's withheld." Shalom be with you. Wholeness be with you. "As the Father sent me." How did the Father send him? To tabernacle among us. We think of Jesus' life as a 3-year ministry. It was his whole life. The Father sent him for 31 years. He walks as the one sent to live in our place. Then he starts to minister. There's a lot to say about it. But as the Father sent him, he is sending us. "Even so, I am sending you." In the same way, I am sending you. And everybody goes, "Huh?" And he says, "Hold on, receive the Holy Spirit." Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can follow in this commission we've been given. Right? And we can follow. And here's the warning. Here's the hard one. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it's withheld. If you do not preach the kingdom, they will not know about the kingdom." We wrestle with these questions. 3.3 billion people who have no gospel access. Jesus didn't wrestle with this. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except Do we believe that? Except by, through, in me? Jesus is not confused. Let's go back to Romans 14, verse 17. How do we respond? How do we say, Lord, I now hear again. I'm reminded again. I didn't come here to preach something new. I wasn't even sure this was going to be a sermon. I want to remind us. Romans 14, verse 17. This, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's first dwell on that together. Let's first think about this. We receive righteousness. Maybe in your life, you do not currently feel righteous. You do not feel like you have performed well. Good news for you, you didn't. You didn't perform well. The message, the good news of the kingdom is someone else performed well. Really well. Righteousness level well. Right standing before the Father well. And he exchanged that for your performance. Let's dwell on that for a moment. We receive his righteousness just by putting our trust in him. So that we can stand before the Father, holy, blameless, without fault in Christ. You say, I don't feel whole. I have, once again, good news for you, aren't whole. Some of it's your fault, some of it's not your fault. That's why the Prince of Peace came. That's why he said, in this life you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I give my peace to you. I give my wholeness to you. We need to receive his peace. It's by faith. By faith I receive. I dwell on the wholeness of Christ. Lord, there are areas of my life where I'm not whole. I am spinning like a hamster in a wheel. I have wholeness for you. And this may be a journey for us to walk out with one another. There may be a journey here for some of us we need to embark on for the first time. Lord, I don't have wholeness in an area. Lord, I need help. Well, you are in a community that will help. Because the kingdom is not just a kingdom that increases. It's a kingdom that remains. Look around you. Look around you. Look around. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. Yes, look around you. Welcome to journeying wholeness. Right? This is our portion, and it is the portion we are to proclaim to the world around us. Lord, I do not have joy. I am troubled. I am anxious. Well, read Psalm 100. I think we started with Psalm 100. Look at Psalm 100. How do we enter his gates? With thanksgiving. Psalm 51 says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Some of us need to dwell on that. We've moved to such a level of performance, we've forgotten what it was like to be embraced for the first time. To be embraced by the Father. Don't feel bad. The Ephesian church got this wrong as well. Read Revelation. They abandoned their first love. And his encouragement is remember. Remember the moment. Dwell on the moment. Dwell on the joy. When you thought this sin that separates me is the end of me. And he said, no, just give it to me. I'm the beginning of you. Right? Are we going to proclaim this to the nations? Seems like good news to me. Seems like good news to me. I had things I tried not to say that I said. I said things I didn't plan to say. There's communion here for us. I want to give us a moment. Can we leave Romans 14, verse 17 up? I want us to just do some business with the Lord here. We cannot proclaim a gospel we have not believed. We have a task entrusted to us to pray for. And here's just for us again, just in this morning, just in this moment, let's respond to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you about how that is to be walked out. Before we take communion, right? Before we take communion, I like them. We're body, soul, and spirit. Ek moet beteken my lichaam bietjie lei, so ons gaan bietjie achtergrond muziek hê. Maak het vir my makliker as julle saam met my kan. And then I want to just dwell, before we take communion, dwell on the message of the kingdom of God, of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit say to you about that? Father, we respond to the message of your kingdom that by faith we receive righteousness, peace, wholeness, joy in your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would see these areas where this is not our testimony at the moment. We come by faith in you, Lord Jesus, putting our trust in what you have done. We bring these areas, whatever has been placed on your heart, whatever is facing you, whatever is challenging you about this message. We're going to give it to you, Lord. We turn from that. Thank you that you restore to us the joy of salvation, your salvation. Thank you that we can feel again your embrace. That we can know your presence and grow in awareness of your presence daily. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us to teach us, to empower us, to show us Jesus Christ, to transform us, to apply what he has purchased. So in this moment where we're just repenting and just turning and putting our trust in his righteousness, the peace he has for us, the joy that is our portion, let's partake of the bread. Let's take the bread out there, and I know this is maybe not how you pictured breaking bread, but it's symbolic. We give it meaning. Jesus, we partake of your body, yes, broken for us, but raised to life. We trust for the impartation of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit as we eat together on this journey. Let's eat. Lord Jesus, your blood speaks a better word. The covenant you made personally speaks a better word. We know that the blood is representing the cross and also the resurrection, that we can receive from you life, that we can put our trust that what you have done was enough. That you bled for our sins. So we don't have to. And that your blood made a way in the heavenlies, a better way, a new way. to the presence of the Father. So that we, in you, can be wholly blameless and without fault. Holy Spirit, empower us to walk that out to the glory of the name that is above every name, Jesus' name. Let's drink. Was es noch nicht klar, ne? Acts 1 verse 8 says, you'll be my witnesses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. There is one commission given to us. It's here, it's there. You don't have to choose. This family is going to go on a journey. It's been great establishing culture for about 3 years. It's healthy. But the Lord is speaking to us about his temple. And speaking to the small group leaders about the book Haggai. The Lord is speaking to us about his temple. His temple is built with living stones. It's about 60% built. Because there are living stones in the nations. There are living stones in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. Samaria is not a great place to go to if you're Jew. Right? We don't have an option. It's not like we can choose. But there are living stones that we have a responsibility to take the message of the kingdom to. Because if we don't proclaim forgiveness, there is no forgiveness. And so we're going to be embarking on a journey that, I don't know what it looks like completely, but it's going to become more missional. It's going to become more uncomfortable. But we've got a great comfort there. The good news is we're in a part of the body that is very intentional about this as well. So we have relationships with people. We have relationships. We have a history. There are ways and means that other people have paid and done and learned. And there's some of them here that know how to do this. I don't know how to do it. I know what my lane is. But we have one commission. And we're going to become more and more intentional with that. That's going to become more of a priority in this community. That's what we're signing up for. So once again, look around the room. It is everyone's commission, not some commission. And so I want to close with an opportunity. Let's take some time to pray just this, your kingdom come on earth, and ask, we're going to take 2 minutes and just pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, show me practically how. Some of us are already doing this, but that needs to impart it to the guy next to you who isn't, okay? Some of us know already, some of us don't know, some of us are intimidated. I am. But my trust is in the one I'm following. In his presence, we will see this. Let's turn to one another. Let's pray. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you that where the king is the kingdom. And when the king's people are, the kingdom comes. And we may feel overwhelmed or underwhelmed or motivated or fearful, Lord, but we know that in your presence, you speak to each one of us of what it looks like for your kingdom to come in Jerusalem, what it looks like for it to come in Judea, what it looks like for it to come in Samaria, and what it looks like for it to come to the ends of the earth. Thank you that we can follow you as you are the one on mission, empowering us to extend the good news and the invitation to those around us as we have entered in ourselves. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus.